Hello, my name is Racheli Lovglass. Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Nehemiah, Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter. Yesterday we learned about the Amanah, the written pact made between the people and Hashem to reinvigorate their relationship and fulfill a number of laws. The Perek actually included three things: the list of participants in the national written oath, the contents of the pact of Jewish observance, such as keeping Shabbos and donating a third of a shekel, and lastly, casting lots for turns to bring particular sacrifices and gifts to the Beis HaMikdash, and each person promising to bring his due. Today, we're going to see a description of the population of Jerusalem and the rest of the Holy Land. Okay, Pasuk Aleph. Vayeshvu sarei ha'am b'Yerushalayim. The officers of the land settled in Jerusalem. Ushar ha'am, and the rest of the people that were not leaders, hipilu goralot. They drew lots. Lahavi echad min ha'asara lashevet b'Yerushalayim ir ha'kodesh v'teisha hayado be'arim. They drew lots in order to migrate, essentially, 1/10 of the population to settle, or I should say resettle, in Yerushalayim, our holy, uncontested city. V'teisha hayado be'arim. And 9/10 of the population remained in the other cities. The entire nation gathered together to bless those that volunteered to settle in Yerushalayim. So the Mitzudat David says, "Asher hitnatvu me'atzvam u'mirtzonam shelo al pi hagoral." That it seems as though those who migrated to Jerusalem voluntarily, without casting lots, they are the ones who were blessed. And the question posed here is really the age-old debate of whether it's better to be a city mouse or a country mouse. And Mitzudat David goes on to say, similar to what we had seen mentioned earlier in Nehemiah, that Yeshivat HaKrachim Kasheh Ki HaYokir Hayah B'mkom Rabat Am Lezet HaKashev L'Nedava, that settling in a city is really, really difficult because the price of real estate is far more expensive and the area is safuf, is crowded, and therefore it seems almost as if they're doing this out of the benevolence of their heart. So even though we mentioned earlier that according to the Gemara in Ketubos, urban living is much, much more difficult than, let's say, rural living. It's potentially due to the congestions or the smell in the cities or really a lack of air. So it seems like all these people that are not the leaders who have to settle in Jerusalem, but the people who really volunteer on their own without casting lots, they get blessed by the people because of the difficulty of the switch. So Rabbi Dov Zakheim mentions that the notion of having 1/10 of the population in the capital is actually quite in line with our modern population flows. And this phenomenon, especially in the developing world at the time, of poor people migrating in droves from the countryside to the urban area is not crazy. Even today, capitals of major states really represent about 8 to 12% of the national total population. So this chapter in Nehemiah is really in line, or at least his agenda is very much in line with typical censuses that we see. Okay, so the majority of the rest of this perek, so from Psukim Gimel through Chavdalet, from verse 3 to 24, is a list of names and pedigree of those who live and or are moving to Jerusalem. I'm going to mention just a couple of nuances within the Pasuk, but I'm going to really shy away from reading the extensive list of names. So one of the things that I'd like you to look at is if you take a look at verse 8, Pasuk Chet, the first word in that Pasuk, after listing many, many names of people, is Ve'acharav, Gabai, Sali, Chameot. It just mentions names of people. And Mitzudat David says, what does that mean, Ve'acharav, and after him? If each Pasuk is mentioning name after name after name, why do I need the word Ve'acharav and subsequent to him? And Mitzudat David there says, B'ma'alecha Shivut, that this person named Gabai, Sala, and Salai are more important in stature and honor amongst the people than the people who come before him. That they are less important, but they are behind the people who are mentioned beforehand, as if to say that the list of people is in order of stature and importance. Okay, so who lives in Yerushalayim now? Within this parak. So Rabbi Chaim Angel wrote in 2007, actually, in a magnificent article, that following the reformation of the people, Nehemiah, both Prakim 11 and 12, are dedicated to very, very lengthy pedigrees and lists of people who settle in Yerushalayim, and that these celebratory names enumerate members of the earlier generations alongside those who rebuilt the walls of Yerushalayim. So what we're trying to actually do here is bridge the generation somehow by linking the lists. So who are the leaders who live in Yerushalayim? And there are four main opinions amongst the commentaries. Rashi tells us that this is a list of the elite from the volunteers, who might actually be the 10% number. Malbim tells us that it's a list of the officers who volunteered, but not the 10% or the general volunteers, that those are the names mentioned. Rabag tells us that it's a list of the elite who are also volunteers, but they're not the 10% that was lottery drawn, and that we don't know the names of the people that were drawn by lottery. Professor Zarkavod of the Dot Mikra tells us that this is a list of those people who were there from the original Aliyah, and it's mentioning yet again that they're here, especially if it's so difficult to live in that city, then why not give them the extra glory? If you skip to Pasuk Tet Zayin, to verse 15, when 16, sorry, when it's mentioning the names, the Shabtai, the Yozavad, Al HaMelacha HaChitzona, that these two men, Shabtai and Yozavad, are in charge of the external work for the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that mean? According to Mitzvot David, these are the men who would bring wood for fire or stone, either for korbanot, for sacrifices, or for structural maintenance of the Beit HaMikdash. They needed to have some kind of an upkeep. So essentially, they are really Mikdash workers, temple workers, who essentially work outside of the Mikdash of the temple. And consistent reference in the same psukim, if you look at verse Yud Chet, Pasuk 18, Kol ha-Leviim bi'ir ha-Kodesh matayim shmonim v'arba, that ultimately there are 284 Leviim living in the city of Jerusalem, the holy city. So it's interesting to note just how many times in this chapter Jerusalem is mentioned as Ir HaKodesh, the holy city. So I think the consistent calling of Nehemiah as the city as Ir HaKodesh is telling the people who are migrating that we need to be mindful not to defile it. Now that there's a large population, we still have to be just as careful to maintain the city, because unfortunately sometimes larger cities that are filled with population, somehow it doesn't maintain its, you know, cleanliness and its beauty. So Nehemiah is trying to somehow be preemptive and make sure that the people recognize that this is our holy city. Another interesting thing to point out in verse 24, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, is that Nehemiah mentions the name of somebody, Petachia, who is a guy who seems to have helped the king in matters related to the people. So he's sort of an ombudsman who is really appointed to investigate, you know, different individuals' complaints against any maladministration that might have been going on, especially that of maybe public authorities. Okay, the very last section of the Perek, verse 25 to 36, Pasuk Chaf Hei Talamid Vav, mentions the Jewish villages and towns throughout Yehuda which were settled, and Nehemiah really concludes with yet another medium long-ish list of the places and villages where the people are living. Now, the Malbim, kind of as an overview for this Perek full of lengthy lists of names, has an interesting take on it, which is a little bit confusing, but I guess it's important because soon you're going to be segue into the last book of Tanakh, that of Divrei Hayamim, that of Chronicles. And the Malbim explains that what was being mentioned here in the 11th Perek of Nehemiah is also found in the first book of Chronicles, Divrei Hayamim, Perek Tet, in the 9th Perek, where there are lots of differences between the two lists, and there are also lots of contradictions between the text there and here. However, if the book of Ezra, at least according to the Malbim, completes the book of Divrei Hayamim, and Ezra authored both Ezra and Divrei Hayamim, which he actually wrote first, and Nehemiah completes the book of Ezra, then what is this perek? So Nehemiah, when he reviews the matters which Ezra had already recorded in Divrei Hayamim, in Chronicles, he didn't come to copy the earlier matters. According to Malbim, Nehemiah's entire agenda in these lists is to add elements which had been missing from the earlier material. So that's why you have piecemeal lists here and not extensive ones. Tomorrow, we will see that there is yet another list of names to tackle in Perek Yubet, in the 12th Perek, but that list is actually going to be the list to end all other lists, and then finally, we're going to see a fantastic Chanukat HaChoma, a real bash to the dedication of the completion of the walls of Jerusalem, which we will learn tomorrow. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.